Well, tonight we're continuing our series on how to do devotions, and we're speaking specifically tonight about how to do devotions with your family, how to do family devotions. Last week we talked about how to do personal devotions and how to have a personal walk with Jesus. If you're with us on Saturday morning, Greg Hubbard spoke about something very similar. Tonight we're talking about how to do devotions with your families. Now, have you ever seen one of those commercials where they show a family and they're on a road trip in the car and the little kids are all in the back smiling and the windows are rolled down and they got their hands out the windows or maybe even their foot stuck out the window and they're all just having a wonderful time and they're even reading books in the back seat, sitting quietly, not arguing at all. And then it shows, cuts to a clip of a family camping by the fire or out on a beach by the ocean where nobody else is for some reason. I don't know where you find that beach. And then a voiceover comes on and tells you that this is the car for people who are seeking adventure and want more out of life. Have you seen those commercials? As if the car can give you that? Yeah, right. And you're sitting there thinking, yeah, right. These people have never been in a car with kids before in their lives. Those kids would be screaming at each other. My brother and I, we had a line down the middle of the back seat, and you did not cross it unless you wanted to get walloped. A more accurate commercial would show kids elbowing each other, saying, stay off my side, and arguing about what to listen to on the radio, and asking questions like, are we there yet? And it would show a family sweating because the air conditioning had gone out on their long road trip, or they'd busted a tire and now dad has to walk miles to the latest or to the nearest gas station as the family waits on the side of the road for him to return. I mean, who are these people kidding with these commercials? And I wonder if sometimes when you hear a leader or a speaker talk about devotions or family devotions and suggest that you should do devotions with your family, and say something to the effect of maybe we need to get back to the family altar or something like that, you get this really kind of commercialized picture in your mind. I did a Google image search for family devotions, and this is what came up, if you can show that. It's not very big. Oh, I'm sorry, I chose a picture that was too small. But I'll describe them a little bit. It's all these families sitting together, and they are all smiling. And like two-year-old girls are pointing at the Bible as if to say, Dad, what's the etymology of the Hebrew word for sanctification? And you're going, that doesn't happen in family devotions. Come on, this is so fake. Every one of them just is, there's no turmoil, no conflict, no kids saying, do we have to? It's all just fun and games. These families have it together. And of course, if you've ever tried to do devotions with your kids or with your family, you know that most of the time, it's not like that. I want to be candid with you tonight. This isn't like some Instagram post about family devotions. It's not always like that. In fact, it's not like that most of the time. It's not even like that all the time for my family, lest you thought it was. I don't know if maybe Pastor Liz, our children's pastor, has it all together. Maybe she's got the secret sauce of family devotions, and she's able to have fully developed kids' lessons every evening, complete with skit, puppet show, illustrations, videos, songs with actions, and a power verse. But most of us can't plan that level of devotion every single day. And actually, I spoke with Pastor Liz, and she shared that even for her, the children's pastor, it's not all smiles and giggles when it comes time to call the family to do devotions. And she's not able to incorporate bounce houses into every lesson. And what I hope to help you do tonight is to have a realistic but faithful perspective on family devotions. Now, as we talked about last week, you're not going to find the word devotions in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that the goal of doing devotions isn't there. So do you remember what the goal of doing devotions was, what we talked about last week? What's the goal of doing devotions? Is it to check it off your to-do list, get it out of the way? Knowing Jesus, that's right. It's to know Jesus better and to become more like him. Thank you. The goal is to be more like Jesus. And so let's check out a passage of Scripture that relates to this goal to families. And before we do that, I want to say this. I recognize that not everybody has kids at home. Maybe yours have grown. Maybe you don't have kids yet. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're never going to have kids. But I hope that some of what we talk about tonight, you'll still find applicable in your life. The verse we're going to look at is Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This is a simple passage, but it relates some very simple truths as well about doing family devotions and what can be accomplished through those times spent together. And so here's the big idea for the night. It's simply this. You can shape your kids' future through devotions. You can shape your kids' future through devotion. That may sound like a grandiose thing to say, but let me tell you why you can shape your kids' future through devotions and what that looks like. First of all, your devotions should teach your kids about God's character. We read in Deuteronomy 6:4 that this famous line, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." It's known as the Shema, which is just the Hebrew word for hear. And so this verse is just named after its first word. And we typically don't start a sentence by saying, "Hear, hear, O Miko." Like I wouldn't say that, you know? "Hear, O Kim." I mean, that's weird. We don't do that. If you're watching a movie where there's some kind of really stern character, or maybe a character from the distant past, a historic era, he might begin by saying something like, "Now hear this," or "Heed my words." But in more contemporary language, we might just say something like, "Listen up. This is important." But when we read the next line, it might not sound as important to us. And we read this, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now, it's important, but I mean, it doesn't sound that revelatory to us, perhaps. What's the big deal? Well, I want you to listen to the instructions that come in verse 14 a little later. In Deuteronomy 6:14, it says, "You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you." Now, in this ancient Near Eastern context, Israel was surrounded by people who worshipped all kinds of different gods. And while that particular brand of idolatry, worshiping literal figures or statues or gods that we assign to different acts of nature, that particular brand of idolatry may seem distant and foreign to us, there are all kinds of idols that kids are offered today to lead their lives. There are idols of self and science and sex and greed and pride and popularity and all kinds of other idols that kids are offered to say, "Here, lead your life by this. This will tell you what's right. This will show you the way that you ought to live your life." And there's an enormous identity crisis for kids in our culture because they're told that they can define themselves by their own feelings. But their feelings can be unhinged, they can waver, they can change over time, they lack discipline, they lack clarity, they lack focus, like kids always have and always will. And we need to help our children understand who God says that they are by helping them understand who God is. And maturing in your understanding of God and relationship with Him becomes the foundation for understanding who you are since you're created in His image. And this is where, hopefully, you can apply this even if you don't have kids in your life. Because understanding who God is helps you to understand who you are. And whether you're an adult or a child, you need to learn about who God is in order to understand who you are. And this doesn't mean that we only teach them that there's just one God, as in the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." That's true. But the Shema taught that there's only one God, and therefore there is only one foundation for knowing how you ought to live your life. In other words, if you know God, you'll know life. You'll know how to live. The very act of devotions with your family helps to lead them back to God as the basis for their lives over and over and over again, even when it's not pleasant every time. It helps to lead them to this idea that my life is founded not on what I think or feel or want at this moment, because I don't want to do devotions right now. It helps to lead them back to the idea that my life is defined and founded on something bigger, something deeper, God, my Creator and Savior. I was talking with Pastor Liz, our children's pastor, about this yesterday, and she commented on building strong foundations for your kids and how that may not be easy, but that it has lasting effects, and that as parents, we need to keep the goal in mind. And I was reminded of what we talked about last week. The goal of devotions is not to check it off the list, but to know Jesus more and to become more like him. And our goal with family devotions is not to force our kids or our families to do something that they don't want to do. The goal is that they would know Jesus and they would become more like him. We want them to have a strong foundation for their lives. They'll need to know that there is only one God and that there's only one way of salvation. Acts 4:12, that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And in devotions, you can teach them who God is, and that will help to shape their lives. Now, how technical and deep you get on these things will depend on their ages and their understanding and their ability. You need to know where your kids are at and what they're able to understand. I've talked to my kids about the Trinity. God is three in one, but I don't get overly philosophical about this. I try to emphasize that the Trinity means that God is love. If God was just one being and one person, he could not be love, because who would he have loved before he created anybody else? But because he's one God and three persons, it means that God is love, because the Father loved the Son, and the Spirit and the Son loved the Father and the Spirit, and so on, for all eternity. They always have. And think of how powerful it is for your kids to be able to understand something like that about God, and then to build their identity on that. God is three in one, and he is love. That's a place where you can put down roots, where you can understand who you are and what your life is for. They need to know things like that God is just, that he's merciful, that he's all-powerful, that he knows everything, that he sympathizes with their weaknesses and their pain. He understands their temptations because of Jesus and because he came in the flesh. They need to understand that he is the creator, that he made everything out of nothing, because then they will be able to see that God is able to provide for their needs. And they don't have to grow greedy in their identity, but they can trust God to be their provider. And this doesn't have to be overly complicated. God's character will provide a foundation for their identity. And in a world that has made idols out of identities, they need to know that there is one Lord, and it's not them, and it's not their choices. Where the world will try to point them in every direction, seeking satisfaction and trying to fulfill various needs and desires, all they need can be found in the one Lord who sent the Son to redeem us and sent his Spirit to live in us. So teach your God about who God, or teach your kids about who God is through devotions, so that they can found their identities on something that is solid. Hopefully, as a parent, even if you're young in the faith, you have enough maturity to know some of the simple things about God. Like we just said, God's love, God's eternal, God is our creator, God is our provider. Teach your kids who God is through devotions, so that they have a firm foundation for their identity. One resource that I've enjoyed to teach my kids about some of the attributes of God that maybe you might find difficult to explain to children, or even maybe difficult to understand yourself, is a series of books by a Christian philosopher called William Lane Craig. He wrote a series of books called What is God Like? And there are 10 books. One of them is God is Spirit. How do you explain what a spirit is and what that is to a child? Well, this book helps you to do that. It explains things like that God is three in one, or that God is eternal. And it teaches kids in a fun way what God's attributes are. And they will help you to be able to help your kids understand what God is like. And whatever resources you choose to use, it's important for kids to know who God is, and they can know him through his word and through prayer, because that is the only firm foundation on which they can build their identities. But not only do you need to teach your kids about who God is, you also need to teach your kids how to love God. Let's turn to the next verse, Deuteronomy 6:5. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And family devotions are not only for helping kids to learn neat things about God, but helping them learn, how do I love God with my life? And through family devotions, they can learn how to prioritize God in their time. They can learn how to love God in prayer by hearing you pray and practicing praying for themselves. And importantly, family devotions help them to learn how to love God by obeying him. That is, devotions aren't meant to be just an item that you do and check it off the list, or that you learn something intellectually, but they're intended to shape our lives and help us to understand what difference knowing Jesus makes. Devotions are applicational. And this is particularly important for children. Maybe you've heard a child complain about a class that they're taking at school, and they'll ask a question like, well, when am I ever going to use this in real life? You ever heard a child ask that question? Yeah, every day, right? I mean, if you've got a kid, every day from school. And kids want to know if things are really practical, if there's any real reason to learn what they're being forced to learn. And thankfully, the Word of God is practical. Not only that, but Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This means that God is able to speak to us where we're at, as who we are, to convict us, to reveal who we really are, and to lead us into who we should be. And it can do this for kids as well. And this doesn't just mean that you read them the Bible without talking to them about it or helping them understand or explain it, but it means that God's Word is able to speak to children in the deep places of their hearts, maybe the places where you sometimes feel like you're struggling to reach your own kids. God's Word can reach them in those deep places. It applies to them because it's God's Word, and He knows what they need, even better than you know what they need. But you will need to, as a parent, as a grandparent, you'll need to help them think about how it applies and to draw this out of them. I told you that I would be candid, so I'll admit to you that sometimes this is really hard. You might get done reading a passage of the Bible and you're not sure what to say. So maybe you ask something like, what did you think about that? And all you get out of your kids is just kind of a shrug or a mumbled, I don't know. And that's about all. It's like pulling teeth to get a response. Well, what do you think it means for your life? Love Jesus. Like, that's the Sunday school answer. Believe me, I know. As I've used it myself. My kids use it on me as a Sunday school. Love Jesus, right? That's what everybody says. It's hard not to be frustrated as a parent in those moments, right? You might not know what to say, but you're thinking to yourself, give me a break, kid. I'm doing my best here. This isn't easy being a parent. Can you help me out? Can you give me something? Can you be a little bit more engaged? And those moments, they can be frustrating. They can make you want to just throw in the towel. You might even wonder if you're accomplishing anything. And I want to say to you simply, don't give up. Maybe sometimes you need to relax, you need to take a step back, chill out a little bit in how pressuring you're being or something like that. But don't give up. Maybe everybody's tired or you're just not in your most creative mood at the moment. That's okay, but don't let those instances of difficulty keep you from coming back to family devotions. Because remember, the goal is not to do devotions. The goal is not the family smiling and the two-year-old pointing, asking about Hebrew words. That's not the goal. The goal is helping your kids form a foundation on God, build their identity in Him, to know Him and to know His love in their lives. If you're finding yourself frustrated, it might be time for a refresh. Mix it up a little, do things a little differently. The really great thing about family devotionals and kids' devotionals is they typically do a really good job with application. They keep it simple. They help kids apply God's Word in their lives. So maybe just get a simple kids' devotional book that helps take some of the pressure of creativity off of you, but helps you keep going at family devotions. I've said before that I really like the Fire Bible devotional for kids. I also like the Jesus Storybook Bible because it focuses on Jesus throughout all the different stories in the Bible. It presents the stories in a way that's relatable and applicable for kids. I also started using a devotional called The Whole Story for the Whole Family by Michael Kelly that is a kind of creative, hands-on, everyday devotional. And so whether you're just reading the Bible with your kids or you're using a family devotional book, you'll want to help them to think about how the Bible applies to their lives. How does what you're reading teach you to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might? Make sure your kids know that Bible study is not theoretical, but it's practical. What does it look like for you to love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind? And so help your kids to apply God's Word in their lives. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says this, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." And so not only do you want to help your kids learn about who God is so they can found their lives on Him, not only do you want to help them make good applications in their lives, but you also need to be diligent about family devotions. It says, teach them to your children diligently. And one really important part of diligence is just consistency. We talked about this last week regarding personal devotions, having a set time and a set place. And the same is true for family devotions. Have a set time and a set place. And this may be even more important with family devotions because there are more people involved. And again, being candid, I've done this with varying degrees of success in my own life. There are times when there is a common understanding about when and where we'll be meeting to do family devotions. Those tend to be better. But when I haven't had that same expectation, when it's been more like, oh, we'll do them at the end of the day, those tend to be a little more frustrating. If you have a set time and place and you're consistent, there's an expectation that it's coming and it's not disappointment of, you know, dad interrupting something the kids were already doing. They know what to expect. They do better with the stability of consistency, which is part of diligence. Another part of diligence is resilience. There will be days that you miss. You may fall out of patterns, out of the good habits, but you need to be able to get back in the groove and keep going and do it again. You have to be committed to the importance of the goal of helping your kids experience the love of God and teaching them to love Him as well. And as with doing devotions yourselves, it's important to find a time that works. My biggest shortcoming in this regard is that I've often waited until too late in the evening, and then I've noticed a correlation between attitude and exhaustion. Anybody else noticed that correlation with kids? Attitude usually has a pretty strong correlation with exhaustion. So finding a consistent time may mean that you forego certain endeavors and other pursuits in the evening. I've often been busy with other things and then tried to cram a devotion in at the end of the day, and that has sometimes worked. But more often than not, it just means that the kids are not exactly at their best 7 seconds before bed, and they don't get as much out of it as they could. That's obvious. But what this requires is the diligence to set aside an earlier time that may mean you delay other activities. Maybe you have to make the kids turn off the TV a bit earlier. Maybe you have to do it right after dinner. Maybe you say 7 p.m. is the time when we are meeting. It doesn't matter what else is happening. 7 p.m. in the living room, we are doing family devotions. Maybe the morning is available and it's a better time for you. You can do it at breakfast. Whenever fits your family's schedule, be diligent at it, be consistent at it, and when you fall short, don't stop, keep going. And family devotions are important because they help shape the future of your kids. Your kids are going to learn who they are by knowing who God is. They'll learn how to apply God's word. You need to establish this pattern through diligence, but it also means that you need to lead family devotions from an overflow. Have you ever heard the term premastication? It's not a dirty word, I promise. It's when an animal chews up the food first and then regurgitates it into the mouth of their child, their young, because the child doesn't have teeth yet. It's kind of gross, so dirty in that way, but not dirty in the other way, kind of gross. And maybe you're thinking, Pastor Stephen, this is a terrible illustration for devotions. Maybe, but you'll remember it, I promise, right? Chewing up the food first. Orangutans do this. I don't know if you knew that, but with the leaves they chew or the fruit, chew it up for their kid, and then they basically kiss the child and spit it in their mouth, and that's how they get their nutrition. Sounds appetizing, doesn't it? And in talking with Pastor Liz about devotions with your kids, she remarked how important it is to have a vibrant, personal walk with Jesus to share with your kids. And Pastor Greg Hubbard spoke to us about this at the Saturday morning breakfast. He was talking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and he said that walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, hearing His voice, sensing His direction in your life, learning to keep in step with Him, that's a developing process. It's ongoing, and it requires that we be in the secret place ourselves. That is, that we are doing personal devotions. We're reading God's Word. We're praying. And when we develop intimacy with the Holy Spirit through our devotional lives, we begin to sense what God is like and what He wants in our lives. And with that in mind, look at Deuteronomy 6:7 again. It says this, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." If God's presence and His ways aren't flowing out of your life personally, you won't have anything to give to your kids during family devotions or when you're walking along the way or when you wake up in the morning, or when you're going to bed at night. You won't have anything to share with your kids when you're sitting in the house or when you lie down. You need to be developing your walk with Jesus and the fellowship of the Spirit in your life so that you have something to share out of the overflow of your life. And if you don't know how to have a devotional life, we covered that last Wednesday, and so I'd encourage you, you can find that on the website, the video, or the podcast, and you can listen to what it is to develop a personal walk with Jesus through devotions in your own life. And when you're walking with Jesus personally, then you can chew up what you're learning. You can break it down to a level that your children can understand, regardless of how old they are. And then you can feed it to them so that they can understand it and share with them in a manner that they can apply it. In fact, perhaps this is the most important element of family devotions. More than knowing what the best family devotional book is and what the tricks and tips and secrets are, probably more than anything else, if you want to have a vibrant devotional life with your kids, is have a vibrant relationship with Jesus yourself. Because if you have a developing, growing relationship with Jesus, you will have something to share with your family. And I also want to address the different stages here, because I focused mostly in my thinking and tonight on children. But eventually children grow up. They grow into teens, they grow into young adults. And as they do, you'll want to influence them more and more to have their own walk with Jesus, their own secret place, their own devotional life. You'll want to help them understand how to read the Bible or help them to find appropriate devotionals that they can use. You'll want to help them start to talk to Jesus themselves. And as with all things with teens, there are going to be ups and downs. You're going to have to navigate the best ways to help them grow, and it won't be easy to do that. And they may start to resent you, and they may start to talk about what you're making them do. And when they start to talk about the things that you're making them do, and they start to express how they're not going to do the things that you're making them do, I want you to do two things. One, keep making them do it. Parenting philosophies today are really messed up. You hear them, and basically they're like, let the child decide who the child wants to be. Are you kidding me? Have these people met children? Have these people met human beings? You wonder sometimes. Let the child doesn't know who the child is. That's why God gave them parents. I don't know if you noticed. And that's why God, by the way, calls himself our Father, so that we can grow up to be like him. And so if you've adopted this parental philosophy of let the child decide who the child wants to be, let me point out to you that's not just my opinion bad, theologically incorrect. Because the scripture says that you are to grow up to be like your heavenly Father. You're to grow up to be like Christ. In other words, our relationship with God gives us the example of how we are to treat our relationship with our kids. Not just, hey, let little Johnny decide who little Johnny wants to be. Maybe he doesn't even want to be little Johnny. I don't know. But that's not the parenting philosophy the scripture gives us. Kids don't know who they are, and they'll never know who they are unless someone introduces them to their Creator and their Savior. So you don't just let your kids do their own thing, even when they become teens. And I know that at some point you have to start letting them make their own decisions. You have to release the reins a little bit, and you have to let them become more, have more liberty in their lives. I get that. But I've heard some parents say that when their kids turn 12 or 14, they'll let them decide if they want to keep coming to church or if they'd prefer to do something else or sleep in on Sunday or play sports or something else. Let them decide? You mean the people who society says aren't even old enough to drink or smoke a cigarette or get married? You're going to let them decide how they're going to lead their lives and guide their identities? You mean the people that you demand wake up and go to school every day and won't take any excuses? You're going to let them decide how to serve Jesus and whether to go to church? Let them decide. I don't think so. Not as long as they're under my roof. I'm telling you what, they're going to be coming to church. They're going to know who the Lord is. And listen, I don't mean to be harsh or judgmental, but it's little wonder that teens prioritize so little what we fail to prioritize and require of them. I love this new song that came out recently called Talking to Jesus. And it talks about the influence of a young man's grandma and his mom and how they influenced his life as he saw them praying, and his mom made him go to church. And now the blessing of his own relationship with Jesus is being passed on to his own kids. Listen to these lyrics. He says this: "Mama used to drag me to church Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Khaki pants and a polo shirt. That was my childhood. Boy, I put up a fight. She said, 'Son, one day you'll thank me for having God in your life.' And yeah, I know she was right. Yeah, Mama was right, because now I'm talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. Mama was right, because now I'm talking to Jesus. Yeah, I love talking to Jesus, and I'll be talking to Jesus for the rest of my life. I've got three of my own now, trying to raise them up right. My oldest is 15, and I remember what that was like, trying to deal with the drama, trying to figure out the questions in life. And I've been looking for a way to show him how to make it all right. Then he walked in my room while I was saying my prayers the other night. He said, 'I'll come back later. I can tell you got a lot on your mind.' I said, 'It's not an interruption. You couldn't have picked a better time, because I was just talking to Jesus. Come over and give it a try.' And we started talking to Jesus, and now he's talking to Jesus. Thank God he's talking to Jesus. I hope he's talking to Jesus for the rest of his life." If you want to pass on the blessings of a life in Christ to your kids, you need to make it a priority for them. The wisdom of the Proverbs tells us this: train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. And it's true that this is not a guarantee, because each person has to respond. They're responsible to respond to Christ by faith. But it is wisdom that comes from God to help us understand how to raise up our kids. The second thing you need to do, if they're resenting you and saying, "Why do you make me do this?" is you need to do with teens is what you've already, what we've already been talking about tonight, is share with them from your own relationship with God. It needs to be genuine. They need to see in your life that this is more than a religion. It's more than I'm being dragged to church. You need to be talking to Jesus yourself. You need to have the practice of devotions in your own life and church attendance, and not let it just be something that's religious for you, but let it be that relationship that shines through your life to them and shows them what it means. Don't let things of the world get in the way of your own relationship with Christ, because you have to show them that it's so much better than those things. And so when you get this pushback as kids get older and they say, "Why do you make me do this?" First of all, keep making them do it. And second of all, you keep doing it. You keep loving Jesus. You keep going deep in him. And you show them, this is not religion for me. This is life. You drink deeply of Jesus and show them he's the living water. You eat his word and you show them man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You show them in your life, and you keep making them, training them up in the way that they should go, and in the end, they won't depart from it. Family devotions can be difficult. Young kids, old kids, I'm not trying to give you the Instagram version of smiles and hugs tonight, because sometimes it's hard. Just ask any parent who's tried to do family devotions. But the fact is this: the goal is worth the pain. And the scriptures give us some wisdom, and we can learn from these experiences and the experiences of other people as to how to make devotions more effective and even more enjoyable for our families, so that you can effectively shape the future of your kids. Now, you might be thinking here at the end of this sermon, you know, this is not the kind of sermon where everybody rushes to the altar, and you might be right about that, but I think that this kind of message absolutely calls us to respond. First, perhaps you don't have a devotional life yourself. Maybe you've not been spending time in the Word of God and in prayer. Stuff has gotten in the way. And tonight, you have the opportunity to get rid of it, to come and offer the obstacles and the walls that you put up between you and God in your life, to come and offer those to him and to get rid of them, to say, "God, I'm going to start prioritizing you in my own life." And if your prayer life has been sluggish, why not start tonight and spend some time praying now as the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, and restart that life of prayer in him? Use the next few moments to spark that secret place of prayer personally. Maybe your personal walk with the Lord is doing well, but you've neglected to apply that in your family. Why don't you take the next few moments to come and pray for your family? Pray for your kids by name. Pray for your nieces and nephews or your grandkids by name. Ask the Lord to minister in their lives and to touch them. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you guidance personally about how do I share this relationship I have with you, with these children. And even if your kids are grown or out of the house, you can come and pray for them tonight. You may not do daily devotions together anymore as your kids leave the nest, but that doesn't mean that your conversations can't point them to Jesus as you continue to talk with them along the way out of the overflow of what Jesus is doing in your life. Pray that God will use you to encourage their relationship with him. And so this is how we're going to do the response tonight. We're going to play this song, Talking to Jesus. And in just a moment, when I step down, the song plays. If you want to find a place of prayer to re-jumpstart that relationship with the Lord, that prayer life, to pray for your family, to pray for your kids by name, to ask the Lord to help them to found their identities on him, to ask him for his help to be able to establish devotional times with them that will help them to understand who he is so that they can know who they are. I want to encourage you not to take a message like this lightly, not to say, oh, that's really practical, I'll apply it later, but to say, I want to go before the Lord tonight and ask him for my family. Ask him to help me to set the tone. Ask him to help me to share Jesus out of the overflow of my relationship with him. So as the song plays, let's respond to the Lord and ask him, help us to have this kind of relationship in our homes where our kids will one day be talking to Jesus.